end of this this move from this location to the Roebuck Church of Christ, and walk through there today. The last little bit of paperwork is getting taken care of, and just kind of knocking out things, particular things like what stays, what goes, you know, that kind of stuff. And I have a pod out here tonight, and a dumpster should be here tomorrow, and we're going to be hauling out the attic over in the Saint School building. And so we're doing this is happening. Turn to your neighbor and say, this is happening. We're moving, we're leaving, we won't be here very long. Now, all that being said, we may be here if they dig in and they need the time, we may be here for another 60 days just because they've got to move. And there is the possibility in the middle of it that we might be homeless for a little while. Don't know exactly about that, but the other folks want to move in too. Once they sign the dotted line and want to move in, they don't want us dragging our feet either. So it's kind of like this little dance we're doing. And so you just keep praying that God will give us wisdom and good success, and everything will go well with it. But get ready, because this is not going to be our location for very much longer, and we need to be thinking. If you have ministry and you're involved in some team activity regarding ministry, you need to be thinking in terms of what that means for you. And we will be reconfiguring a lot of things, and we have to get trained in a new space and learn how to live there with one another. So all kinds of interesting things are going to be going on. But sheer excitement, though, is the general rule of the day for all of this. I'm really, really excited about what God is doing and the prospect of what He will do. I want to appeal to you to pray for our churches in the Baton Rouge area. Brother Tony Spell called me this afternoon, and I don't know if you're familiar with some of the turmoil that's going on in Baton Rouge, but they are in trouble there because of some violence, another police shooting, and people from all across the country that have been involved in social activism in other settings are now in the Baton Rouge area, and they're fomenting trouble there. So there's no telling. But Brother Spell runs buses into some of the roughest neighborhoods in Baton Rouge every Sunday and fills his house up with children that don't have a prayer, that don't have a chance. And he's ministering at a very, very high level. And he said he was out there in the middle of all that today, just trying to get a feel for what he should do and how he should approach it all. And so you want to pray for Brother Spell, that he have wisdom, that he'll have wisdom, and for his church families. And he's out there in the middle of it at all, and a lot of little kids are running up to him, Brother Spell, Brother Spell, and they're oblivious to all of the trouble. But that place could be very, very violent in just a little while here. So you want to pray for our church family there, that they do well, and that God just keep them. Why don't we lift them up in prayer right now, that God will just sustain them and keep them and help them through this difficult, difficult time. Mighty God, we just pray you lay your hand on Brother Tony Spell, his family, that church family. God, all of those children and young people that come out of those neighborhoods that are affected. God, give us wisdom and understanding. Help those that are working with that situation. God, let your angels stand in that place and keep your people. And we pray that you would do it, oh God, and get glory out of it, oh God, and turn the thing upside down, mighty God. Don't let it be as it's been in other places, but cause it, oh God, to be for your glory, for the good of that neighborhood. I pray that you'd do it in the name above every name. And everyone said, in Jesus' name. Praise God. Well, Brother Jeff and his wonderful group there have prepared some a meal for you tonight. And so this is our short night, and we're going to hit the ground running here. We are in, again, in James chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, making our way through the New Testament, and here in the book of James, which James deals with everything. So you can deal with everything in the book of James. James chapter 3 and verse 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold, also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven by fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. So the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire and a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defiles the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of birds and serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. If you love his word tonight as you're seated, let's give God praise and magnify his name. Thank him for his word. God, we praise you tonight for the privilege of handling your word. We thank you for the power of the word of God in our lives and in our hearts. So God, we pray you open up your book to us tonight. Help us to walk up and down in it. And we ask it all in the name of Jesus. And everyone said amen. Praise God. So the writer James here, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Understand that to whom much is given, much is required. And there's a sneaky approach in the kingdom of God. He said, if you want to be great in the kingdom of God, don't seek to be a ruler, seek to be a servant. And that's the philosophy, the human component of the kingdom of God, the relational component. Try to be a servant and not a ruler. For in many things we offend all. But he's moving into something he wants to talk about here. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man. Turn to your neighbor and just tell him, if you could control that tongue of yours, you'd be a perfect person. Everybody said amen. Yeah, so, but if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, or we could say for, this is generic, the mankind in general, it's applicable to all of us, and able to bridle the whole body. So if I can control my tongue, if I have discernment and discretion regarding what I allow myself to speak, then I have control over my whole life, is James' point of view. It's his theology. And he gives you some analogies. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. And horses are much larger than we, but you can take them anywhere, and after a little while, they don't like the bit. They don't like that, and so you can just barely touch them on the neck with that bridle, and they will go. God said, by the way, I can lead you by the eye, or I can lead you by the bit. And if you've got half a brain, you want God to lead you by the eye. You don't want him to have to jerk you around. And again, in verse 4, behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm. The rudder on the ship, he said, is like your tongue. You can drive your whole life. You can drive your household. You can drive your marriage. A church can be driven by the words of the mouths of the people that are a part of that church fellowship. And they're turned about with a small helm, whithersoever the governor or the captain of the ship desires, where the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Everybody's got something to say. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. A few words can set the whole house on fire in a good way and in a bad way. What a great fire, what a great matter, a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members. And what he's touching on here is the fact that The heart is deceitfully wicked beyond imagination, and who can know it? The human mind, the carnal mind, is not subject, Romans 8, is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can it be. So there's always going to be this dialogue going on that's against your faith and against the morals and against the word of God and against the good thing and the right thing. Always this discussion going on at some level down at your base level, your default level. Your Adamic nature is always going to be talking about what you ought to do other than live for God or serve God. And what happens is, as long as it stays buried in the caverns back there where it belongs, everything's going to be all right. But once you begin to let it rule and reign, and your thought life becomes corrupt and your imaginations begin to be corrupt, then your speech is going to be corrupt. And once you loose the gate of your speech and you begin to say those things that should have been left way down in the back there, once you begin to say those things, then they take on life at a different level altogether. And you may think it, but it's not wise necessarily to speak it. The Bible said, if you can't keep your mouth shut, put a knife to your throat. He's telling you, you need to threaten yourself. Take yourself in hand. And Paul's going to say, if you can't say something good, don't say anything at all. And your mama probably told you that too. Hopefully she did. But this is strong business, an important business that has to do with your destiny and your capacity to actualize the kingdom of God in your life. All beasts and birds and serpents and things in the sea, all of them are tamed, and mankind has tamed them. But the tongue no man can tame. It takes Holy Ghost and the Word of God to tame your tongue. It takes a lot of Holy Ghost and an experience and an altar and an anointing in your life to keep that thing at bay and at check. And as soon as you start seeing and hearing someone who's mouthing off things that are not like the kingdom of God, you know their Holy Ghost is diminished. The Word of God has taken a place inferior to their own desire in their lives, and you can hear and know who they are by the very things that they say with their mouth. But the tongue can no man tame. It's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Therewith we bless God, even the Father. Therewith we curse men, which are made after the similitude of God. Now he goes on to talk about the fact that ought not be. You ought not have the capacity to be a bitter fountain and a sweet fountain. You ought not be able to produce good fruit and bitter or sour fruit at the same time. You ought to be consistent, but mankind has this uncanny ability to be duplicitous in our life and what we do. So James is teaching us here about our tongue and about our speech. And we hear Jesus in Matthew chapter 12 giving us the same type of advice, that you can be condemned or justified by your tongue. Verse 35, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. You can see you are what you do, but you also are what you say. And so you bring out of your heart, if you're saying those things and you're speaking those things into existence, that is a confession or a representation of your heart. But Jesus said, I say to you, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Say this with me, by my words I shall be justified, and by my words, I shall be condemned. Now, I understand that at the White Throne Judgment, the judgment is meted out on the basis of works. But I'll tell you this, it's just like he says, it's like a bit and it's like a rudder. What you say is what you will do. What you begin to talk about is where you will go. And your allegiances will be framed first by your mouth and then by application. So Jesus says condemnation and justification are tethered directly to what you allow out of your mouth. And your mouth is a gate, and you are the watchman over that gate. And there is no reason for that mouth to be doing things that are not consistent with the kingdom of God and the goodness of God in your life. Has God been good to you? You ought to have something good to say. That's why we put a great emphasis on prayer and praise and worship. Because when you're a worshiper and you're involved in prayer, it's far less easy for you to stumble out into all sorts of negative tirades with your mouth. Praise God. So Proverbs teaches us, and the writer of Proverbs tells us that destiny is found in the tongue. Chapter 18, verse 19. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. So typically offense comes by verbal means, and typically people are offended by words, and we can hurt somebody and it becomes so difficult that the writer here says it's like conquering a fortified city once you offend somebody. Far easier to learn the ways of God and be kind and gentle and good with people and never wound anybody with the words of your mouth. We sing a song just like that. And their contentions, the wounded, the offended person, their contentions, what they say with their mouth, are like the bars of a castle. Once you get offended, the recitation of that offense, or the repeating of that, is like a fortification that nobody can get into. You live in the house of your abuse or your offense or the thing that's happened to you, and you repeat it every day, and nobody can get in. Logic can't get in. Reason can't get in. Mercy can't get in. Love can't get in. Because bless God, I've been hurt and I'm not letting it happen again. And here's the reasons I don't trust people. And here's why I don't go to church. And this is why I can't live for God. It's somebody else's fault. It's what they did for me. And you have built yourself a cage that's going to drag you all the way into hell and nobody can get to you. And you're building it every day with the words of your mouth. And so he's letting us know the power of speech. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. And this is not name it and claim it, and this is not just speak it and it's going to be. There is always action involved in actualization. We understand that. But what the teaching in James tells me is that my primary experience is quite often cognitive, and then it's verbal. And then I walk in action, and then I do. So you're quite prone to say it before you do it, to talk about it before you do it, even in your own counsel, to begin to talk about it before you do it. So a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. You can't talk about work and be filled. You've got to go and do the work. But it starts with talk, is the point of this writer's proverb. And the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Now this is the bottom line here. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So this is so important. My destiny is tied to the things that I allow myself to say. I know a lot of bad things, but I choose not to talk about the bad things. I rather know some very good things, and I choose to talk about those. Paul said, if there be any good thing, think on these. And I would take it out to the next level and say, don't only think about it, talk about it. If there are good things, talk about those things. Don't be mired down in what is not and what hasn't been and all the negatives around you, but find something good and don't just talk about it. Sing it. Find yourself a song. David said, I cried unto the Lord. He heard my cry. He lifted me up out of a deep pit, out of the miry clay. And he set my feet on a rock, and he established my goings. And he's put a new song in my heart, in my mouth, if you would. Even praise unto my God. He said, it's a function of God's work in my life to put a new verbalization in me. I used to only see the negative. But now, because of God's goodness, I can see the good. I used to talk about the negative, but now I can talk about the good. I used to talk about vengeance, but now I can talk about mercy. You understand, I want to talk about God's business. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1, who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? And so whoever believes the report, that's to whom the arm of the power or the deliverance or the salvation of God is revealed to. too. And so the question, looming question, do you believe God's report? Do you believe God's report? Do you believe what the Word of God says? Then you ought to get on board with God, and you ought to be able to, with God, say everything's going to be all right. God is able. Is anything too hard for God? God is my supply. God is my provision. God is my protector. God is my healer. I'm not going to talk about my sickness. I'm going to talk about my healing. I'm not going to talk about my lack. I'm going to talk about God's provision. I'm not going to talk about your fault. I'm going to talk about the good that God is doing. Somebody say praise the Lord. Clap your hands. Lift your voice. Say something good right now. Say something good right now. God is good. God's word is true. God is able. God's my provider. God's my deliverer. God's my friend that sticketh closer than a brother. God is my sustainer. God is life. Well, praise God. Turn to your neighbor and tell him something really good right now. Now, if you had to stop and go, you're way out of practice. I know there's something good. So you got to be in practice saying good things. It ought to just roll off your tongue. And to say something bad ought to just make you struggle a little bit. Because I don't want to focus on the negative. You know, I don't want to focus on the evil. I don't want to focus on the broken. And I don't want to focus on the weakness. You know what? Life is so short. And we have so little time. I'm amazed at how people always want to focus on the weakness. When you're dealing with somebody, when you're dealing with yourself, don't focus on their weakness. Well, I'm trying to make them better. Well, believe me. How long you had the Holy Ghost? Long time. Has the Holy Ghost fixed on your weaknesses yet? Not yet, but you got some strengths. And so let's optimize. Let's accentuate the positive. Let's talk about the good that God is doing. Let's talk about your strength. You hearing me, Sister Brooks? Say amen. Because you can get all eaten up with on the weakness. But don't do that. Build him in the strength. That's what God does. You can't fix the weakness. The Holy Ghost can. And if he hadn't yet, you need to give up. He still puts his socks right over there and does that with them in his. I know you never say anything. I'm just using you for a generic example. I chose you because I knew that you were perfect in all your ways and that there wasn't anything like that here at all. Something good. Talk about the good thing. Focus on the strength. And what does God do? Gideon, you're pitiful. Gideon, you're hiding. Gideon, you're such a wimp. Gideon, the enemy's at the gate, and here you are hiding. And he says, Gideon, thou mighty man of valor. What does God do? God focuses on what God is able to do in that individual. He doesn't give him a litany of everything that's wrong. He gives him the power to become what God has called him to become. That's what God focuses on, and that's what God said to Gideon, and that's what God is saying to you. Praise God. So we got to hurry. You got 9 minutos más. So we're going to hurry. So here's the power of the tongue in disappointing destruction. Numbers chapter 13, verse 25. They went and spied out the land of Canaan. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran of Kadesh, and brought back word unto them to all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land, and told them, said, we came to the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. It's good. It's like God said. It's great. It's full of good things. But nevertheless, Because your negativism and your Adamic nature and your default human nature, that's why you need to walk in the Holy Ghost and love the Word of God, because you need to get above your old base human nature. Because even though they walked in the land and saw the promise of God, they came back shaking their head. Nevertheless, you don't ever want to look at the promise of God and say nevertheless. Point your finger at your neighbor and tell him, don't you ever look at the promise of God and say, nevertheless. Come on, say God is able. Say God is able. Say God never fails. Say God always succeeds. God always makes it happen. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, they're giants. The Amalekites dwell in the land in the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains. Canaanites dwell by the sea in the coasts of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people. It meant that that word was reverberating through the people, and they were just starting to moan, oh no, oh no, or whatever they were responding with. He made them quieten down. Caleb, one of the faithful ones, said no. He stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. And so he's there. He's got the positive response. He believes the report of the Lord. His mouth is full of it. His heart is full of it. His mind is in charge of his emotions. And he saw the giants, and he saw the negatives, and he saw the challenges. But he said, I know God is able, because we're not stupid. We see the challenges. And we see the problems, and we see the negatives and all of that, but we don't focus on those. And you can't capitalize on a negative. You better find yourself something good to stand on, and something good to sing about, and something good to talk about. He said, let's go up right now. We are well able. But the men that went up with him said, and there were 10 of them, we be not able to go up against the people. In essence, they are bigger than our God. They are stronger than we. They are stronger than our God. And they brought up an evil report, because any time you contradict faith is evil. I don't mean sitting down and reasonably discussing pros and cons, positives and negatives. But I'm talking about when you're speaking from fear and you're just taking a position that says, no, we can't do what God said. We can't be what God's called us to be, because fear is your guide there. Then that is, according to this, that is evil. We're not evil. We are not able to go up against the people. They brought an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight. They talked themselves into this. We see ourselves as grasshoppers. So were we in their sight. You can talk yourself into a position where you doubt God's ability. You can talk yourself into fear. Fear feeds on your talk, but faith feeds on your talk. Paul's teaching the Romans, and he says, that word of prophecy is nigh thee. It is even in thy mouth. You need to open your mouth and say what God, when your heart is afraid, talk about your God that's greater than your heart. When your heart is telling you one thing, talk about your God and what God has capacity to do. And then in Numbers 14, and all the congregation lifted up, this is their response, lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. So the negative talk bred negative talk. The thing, the report, the negative report created a greater negative report, because if you're not filled up with the Holy Ghost and full of faith, you resonate with negativity. And it resonated in that whole crowd. And the whole congregation said to them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore God hath the Lord God brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey. Were it not better for us to return to Egypt? That's been their song since the first day they left Egypt. They've been singing out of the same songbook since they left. They've never walked in faith, and now it's going to kill them. And the Lord spake to Moses and to Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation? You speak your doubt. It's just not doubt. It is evil before God. You got to get a handle on that. You speak your fear. It is not just fear. It is evil before God. If it's coming up against the word of God or the mandate of God or the calling of God in your life, you need to shed those things and stand up. And even if you're terrified, you need to say the right thing, because that produces the motive force for you to do the right thing. He said, how long will I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmuring. God hears it when you murmur. Murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as you have spoken in my ear, so will I do to you. Be careful what you say, because God hears what you say, and you might write your own destiny with the words that you speak. He said, I heard what you said, you're going to die in the wilderness. So guess what? You're going to die in the wilderness. I'm going to let it be just like you said. But if they had latched on to Caleb, and if they had said, let's go up right now, let's take it, for we are able, God would have heard that, and they would have taken the land that day. He said, your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and all that were numbered of you according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, doubtless you shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. But your little ones, which you said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which you have despised. But as for you, your carcass is going to die in this wilderness. 40 years later, Joshua and Caleb enter into the land, and their death and their life and the promise of God, they were determined by what they said with their mouth. Praise God. I believe in end time revival. I believe we can have it. I believe we can fill up this house, and I believe we can fill up the next house. I believe your family can be healthy and productive. I believe your marriage can be restored. I believe your children can live for God. I don't believe we have to have a whole generation of kids that backslide. I'm just telling you what I believe. Do you believe anything that God has said? I believe that God is good, and God is able, and God is our provider. Why don't you stand, clap your hands, lift your voice, talk to God a little bit about what you believe. Tell God how you see it. Tell God you believe what he said in his word. Somebody needs to start talking faith over the rumble of your problem right now. You need to begin to speak over the noise of your doubt right now, and talk about what God is able to do. We believe you, God. We trust you, oh God. We thank you, mighty God. We bless your name. Praise God. Praise God. Everybody say praise the Lord. Well, you got the condensed version tonight. Praise God. It is so good to be in the house of God with you. We need to have about a 30-minute altar call, but we're not, because Brother Jeff and all the hardworking people over in that kitchen are waiting, and they'll be wondering why you're not over there eating. So we're going to stop. You're going to have to put on your Jake brakes and your Holy Ghost move and just get this thing down to a slow level and ease your beating heart, and let's go and fellowship. Praise God. Praise God. Brother Cliff, why don't you pray for the fellowship in the meal tonight? Amen.